Okay, Ed, let's do this thing. It's the Buckmaster Show. Ed Alexander producing and engineering the show with me. I am Bill Buckmaster on this, and I'm Bill Buckmaster not just on this day, the 10th of September, but that is the date, September 10th, 2015, for the Buckmaster Show, coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We stream our show. That means you don't need to be by a radio. If you're around a computer, no problem. Plug in buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and you will be able to hear the whole program. If you missed the program, a portion of it, want to hear it later, our podcasts are also available, along with our complete archive of pretty much all the shows we've done over the last four, coming up on 5 years already. 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Richard Elias is with me, Pima County Ward District 5, a Democrat from the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Talk with Richard here in a moment. Then at 12:30, the head of one of Tucson's largest private employers, Sunt Corporation, will give us an overview of how they see the Tucson economy right now. Then we'll wrap up the show with the Buckmaster legal advisor, Don Luce, and then our live line number, of course, is open for you, 790-2040. We're ready now to take your calls. Richard Elias, always a good sport. He will try to answer to the best of his ability your question, and will entertain your comments. If you'd like to become a friend of our show, our Facebook page is easy to find. It's under my name, Bill Buckmaster. Supervisor Elias, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill, and happy to be on the show with you. And 5 years, and you haven't aged a bit.
Hey, I don't think so.
But, you know, I also have to say that when you're a Hall of Fame broadcaster, that, you know, sometimes life is good, and it shows. And it shows on you, Bill, and we're proud to have you here in Southern Arizona.
Thank you so much, Richard. Even though today does kind of feel like midweek edition, because most of us were off on Monday, and I came back after a beautiful vacation up in Canada, up in Saskatchewan, where we drove in one of the national parks, Richard, for an hour and didn't see another car. Where else can that happen? It's kind of good sometimes to get away from everybody, if you know what I mean, and I think you do. Interesting story Tony Davis of The Star had about Rosemont Mine. Of course, the current owners of Rosemont are a Toronto, speaking of Canada, based company known as Hud Bay. They've kind of been flying under the radar screen here so far compared to way Augusta, which previously owned the Rosemont, proposed Rosemont mine, was all over the place with PR. But it was an interesting story. Copper prices are at least a five-year low, and you wonder now how that's going to affect the future of Rosemont.
Yeah, absolutely. The economics of copper and copper mining and mineral exploration in general have changed drastically in the last couple years. Hud Bay is aware of that, and they bluster around about everything being the same, but in fact, we know there'll be less jobs, and those jobs will probably not pay as much as originally anticipated, and the operation won't be as big as originally anticipated. The environmental liabilities still remain, and that's a subject of great interest, because part of their plan has to be, how do you deal with those environmental liabilities that you create? And so there's some serious questions that have changed with the economics of mineral exploration. And like I said, our experiences recently with environmental liabilities.
400 employees was the original plan. And I know that Tony Davis in his piece talked with a research professor up at Colorado School of Mines, Division of Economics and Business, who believes that if Hud Bay did get up and running, it would be far fewer than 400 employees. And we had two major copper producers, Asarco and Freeport McMoRan, recently announcing 211 and 150 layoffs, respectively, at the Hayden concentrator and the Sarita mine due to this price slump.
Right. Absolutely tough times for those families. And We hope those companies can survive all of that and continue to live up to the promises that they've made to keeping our folks employed and keeping our place clean, frankly. The specter of what's taken place in northern New Mexico and the Animas River and in Colorado and now leaking over into Arizona is humongous, because those chemicals that have polluted those waterways have been there for years. They don't go away. And part of the Rosemont application has been to have plastic-lined leach ponds up there in the Santa Ritas. And I gotta wonder, how many of us in the normal population have ever seen a piece of plastic that has lasted longer than ourselves? Okay?
Yeah.
And so here we have a situation where we're dealing with environmental problems that were created two generations ago, three generations ago, in terms of people's lifetimes, and coming back to bite us. That's the true cost of those environmental liabilities created by poor mining proposals. I think that's what we're facing here as well.
All right. We've got a couple of calls. Actually, did Keith want to, was he on topic with the copper? Yeah, he wanted to. So we'll go to Keith, then Matthew, you'll be next. But I want to go to Keith because he wants to talk about this copper situation. Hey, Keith, go ahead.
Well, good afternoon, all.
Hi.
I wasn't really on copper. I didn't say that. But as far as the Animas River goes, you can thank the EPA and people like that for that. But no, what I'm calling about is, Richard, I'm not going to listen to you about anything, because you're the person, one of the people, responsible for the bankrupting of this county. And as far as being a great interviewer, Bill, you're not. You're a propagandist. Bye.
All right, Keith. That I don't think that even merits a response. Matthew, you're next.
Well, I'm glad he went before me so that I can express my complete disagreement with his comment. And I think Richard Elias is a very good supervisor. I think all the Board of Supervisors work hard, and they're doing their best every day to improve conditions. Richard, I did ask Ray Carroll when he was on, and Bill can attest to that. It's an issue that has become close to my heart. You and I both got a chance to sit in a room with three department secretaries in the current administration, both one from HUD, one from the VA, and one from labor. And that was an honor. And I know you were a big part of getting them to Pima County to discuss homelessness, especially with veterans' homelessness. That was the issue. Part of that issue, and I've been working, you know, with multiple groups on it. We had a meeting with the faith-based community, and Steve Kozacik and representatives were from the county were there. But it's an ungraspable condition that exists right now, not just in Pima County, but all around the country. But the heart of it is the fact that the vouchers criteria is too restrictive, and it's keeping people on the streets for no apparent reason. One last thing I just want to ask is, I do not believe that the city and the county have their hands around this, because there's no single person that seems to have responsibility for this entire issue.
Okay.
Can you please check to see if Dr. Garcia could be the POC on homelessness? I think he would be the perfect person to drive it home at a county level. And then work with the city. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate your comments. And Dr. Garcia does have his hands full, but actually the vouchers and Section 8 program that is in place here in southern Arizona is a mixture of city and county dollars together. Requirements and fair market rents and all of that is controlled rather rigidly by HUD and EMAT, need to be reviewed very often. we need to take better care of our vets. And so I hear you. Consolidating a focus on that, I think, is important. And taking a new look at that is absolutely important. I think the city especially has had a difficult time in changing over the leadership over there in community services several times in the last few years. But I think taking another look at it on behalf of all of us is probably a really good idea, Matthew. So thank you for your call.
All right. Two law enforcement groups, Richard Elias, have been teaming up to fight for pay increases to see, they really want these deputies to and corrections officers. They say they were promised pay raises. They say they're long overdue. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, we had a step increase program that was in place about 5-6 years ago and was working to help eliminate some of the compression in the system related to our public safety employees. The Sheriff's Association has been very vocal about that, My sense is that we need to get back to that step increase program at some point in time, but we also need to take care of other county employees who have been in a similar boat. We have hundreds of employees who make $10 an hour, and quite frankly, their lives are very difficult as well, many of them single parents. So that's not unusual for us. I think that our focus on losing public safety officers is absolutely critical, because you lose a lot in training costs. And frankly, we all want to have great officers and sheriffs on the street. Every single neighborhood in District 5 does. Every single neighborhood throughout the United States, I think, wants to have great cops. The way to do that is to train them, to pay them, and make sure that those jobs are guarded and treated well.
All right, let's take a break right here. It's 12:15 on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. My name is Bill Buckmaster. If you would like to call 790-2040, and we'll like to hear from you. Be right back.
The U of A Psychiatry Department is seeking veterans, first responders, and other individuals who've experienced traumatic stress in the past 5 years to participate in a DOD-funded study using light exposure and brain imaging. Eligible participants will receive up to $1,200 for completing the study. For more information, call 520-428-5141 or visit uascanlab.com. Click on the Traumatic Stress Study link. That's 520-428-5141 or uascanlab.com. This study has been approved by the U of A Institutional Review Board.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Sometimes opportunity knocks, You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with City of Tucson Parks and Rec Director Fred Gray. Our Friday roundtable features Sarah Garrett Gasson of The Star and Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. And we're always on BuckmasterShow.com for our live streaming podcasts and show archive. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. The 7th annual Pick-A-Mania event is coming up this weekend. Starts tomorrow, runs through Sunday over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Of course, pick meaning like guitar picks, and it's a free event, free Americana Music Festival 10. Actually, almost a dozen bands and going on over there in Silver City, which is just 3 hours east of Tucson, to check it out, the Pick-A-Mania Festival. And there's a lot of great places to stay, like Agave Ridge Retreat, Cottage of Whispering Canyon. And you can find out about the many things to do and places to stay by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Richard Elias is with us, the Ward 5, why do I keep saying Ward? District 5, Pima County Supervisor with us. And of course, we've got the bond election coming up very quickly. And actually, I think we'll go right to the live line because caller Chuck wants to bring up bonds. And that was going to be our next topic anyway. Hey, Chuck, how are you?
Just fine. Supervisor Elias. I'm sure I know what you think about the bonds, and that the $830 million means you're going to put on the taxpayers' back payback of $1.1 to $1.2 billion over, 27 years, I believe it is. And the other thing, a couple other things I wanted to bring up real quick. I think it was you that talked about truth in bonding. Supervisor Elias, that you, the board, by a simple vote, can change whatever's in that bonding package and transfer that money to other projects.
Okay.
And one more point, please.
Okay, please, real quickly, Chuck, come on.
I will. I'll get off. And Supervisor Elias, are you aware that we still have $80 million dollars of outstanding bonds that have yet to be issued from the 1997 bond?
Okay. So it kind of sounds like a three-part question there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your call, Chuck. And, you might be surprised to find that all the debt that we currently have that comes from bonds has been voter approved. And Auditor General of the State of Arizona audited the 97 election, the 2004 election, and the 2006 election, all of them bond elections in Pima County, and didn't have a single finding, and indicated that about 97% of the projects that we had committed to doing were in fact done or in progress. I think that's a great track record to stand on. We have retired debt much faster than we have ever anticipated doing. Again, I think that's a great positive as well. And quite honestly, I think the package that the voters have in front of them right now is a good package that spreads capital projects throughout a huge county that's actually bigger than five states in the United States. So this is very broad-based. It includes all the different jurisdictions here in Pima County and looks at their needs as well.
How about this truth in bonding that caller Chuck brought up?
Well, you know, again, we can, in fact, change bond projects, but we haven't. The truth is that we've completed what we promised we were going to complete. There were some projects in the 97 bonds that have been delayed and have sat around, and that has been difficult to see. But frankly, that is not on this Board of Supervisors. This was a very different board than the board that was being that was representing Pima County back in 97. We have gotten much better at this business. I think the voters have responded. We've had a very rigorous process about putting together this package. And frankly, I think it's something that we can all be proud of. And in these economic times, I think you need to take a look at how we've made our county great, how we've made the United States of America great, how an individual family achieves greatness. In large part, that's by borrowing and repaying that debt and making good on the promises you make to people. That's been good for us. It's healthy for us. It creates jobs. And I think that's a critical issue, particularly right now. We could talk about all the community needs. We could talk about the capital improvements that have to be done. But just the jobs that we're going to create with approval of these seven questions that are before voters right now, frankly, I think makes a big difference and is a big enough reason to approve them. But when you factor in the improvements that need to be made to our parks, improving the protections on our greatest economic asset in the entire county, our open space, our desert, the Sonoran Desert, the precious habitat that we have that provides a home for wildlife that's not seen in any other part of the world. Bill, you were just up in Canada, and did you see anything that looked like the Sonoran Desert while you were up there?
No.
Not really.
No.
This is a very unique place. Parks needs, like I was talking about, the road monies that need to be expended to improve our system, to make it safer for people, to start doing something rather than just sitting around and complaining and not doing anything about it. Voters in Maricopa County, which is a very conservative county compared to Pima County, just approved over $3 billion worth of bonds, largely based on transportation, a huge amount of them for road improvements, but even more for public transit. Very different kind of package, but approved by a very conservative voter group. So very interesting. I think we're going to have great success with this bond package that's in front of people. I encourage people to vote in favor of it. I encourage people to examine it and scrutinize it in every way possible while we're having this discussion.
Ingrid is next on the live line. Hello, Ingrid. How are you?
Hi. Thank you. Fine. I can make this fast. The previous caller asked a few questions, and you responded to one of them by saying that you completed 97% of the projects. That doesn't mean that you spent 97% of the money on those projects. What other projects did you use that money for, and shouldn't have been that excess money be held to the side in case those same issues came up again and had to be funded? And furthermore, that's a question. And furthermore, I'd like to add that this bonding system is very, very lucrative for the investors in those bonds and for the holding companies that manage the whole ball of wax.
Okay.
It's a very expensive way to fund. I'll hang up and thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm not against people making money for taking risks in this country. That's part of what's made us great. That's part of the free market system. And I think it's an important facet of all of this. But, you know, that was an audit. That wasn't Richard just spouting off facts that Chuck Huckleberry has put out there or that I might have researched myself. That was from the Auditor General of the state of Arizona based on a bill that was passed by the Arizona State Legislature. Probably not Pima County's best friends, and we came up clean. And a lot of those projects that left some money behind that needed to be reallocated were because we finished them under budget. Because we were able to be efficient, because we were able to do a good job on them. I think that speaks very well for us. I'm not ashamed of it at all. I think it's something that we should be proud of, and it speaks to us keeping our promises. And I think it also speaks to the American way of borrowing and finding success in what you build based on what you borrow.
So, and again, what is the assurance that if the voters pass this, that it will actually get done?
Well, I think we absolutely provide that with the truth and bonding ordinance that we've put together and refined several times that made it more concrete and better every single time we've done that. We fully intend to stick to that. But I think you need to look at our track record, and you need to look at the integrity of the Board of Supervisors, and I think it's well in place. I think we've done very well. I think we should be proud of the fact that we have had a significant tenure in office, and that institutional knowledge that we've created there helps people feel confident that we will in fact keep our word. Together with that truth and bonding ordinance, I think you're going to see that not only does Pima County keep its word, but that we are able to go past that and provide an even better product to people than we had ever anticipated.
All right. Thank you very much, Richard Elias, being with us here on the Buckmaster Show. And by the way, next Wednesday, yes, September the 16th, right after the Buckmaster Show, Mike Shaw, who hosts 4 Tucson at 4, will be on at a special time from 1 to 2. So right after the Buckmaster Show, Pima County Supervisors Allie Miller and Ray Carroll will be debating the whole bond situation from 1 to 2 in the afternoon. So that's going to be a good hour of radio. I think Richard will have to look forward to hearing that. That'll be absolutely fun. It will be. All right. We'll look forward to that.
I did just want to say thank you to all the people that call in. I thought you had some good questions. And pleased that you're listening to a Bill Buckmaster's show, which is a great asset to all of us.
Well, thank you very much. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Can we just talk? I want to talk to you about cockroaches. Yes, cockroaches. And their buddy, the scorpions. You know, if there's something that drives me up the wall, it's a cockroach. And it's not something people talk about. But we didn't just talk about it, we did something about it. We called Shelby Hawkins at 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where it is time for our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, offering a comprehensive approach of programs and services to facilitate the creation of high-wage jobs through the attraction of new primary companies, the retention and expansion of existing primary companies, and increased business creation and entrepreneurship strength within our region. Since 2005, over the last 10 years, Sun Corridor has facilitated more than 100 successful projects in Southern Arizona, representing 27,500 direct and indirect jobs with an overall economic impact of nearly $8 billion. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. Joining me on the live line, Kevin Burnett, Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer for Sunt Companies, which is 100% employee-owned with revenues of about $1 billion. Kevin's a member of the Sun Corridor Board of Directors. Kevin, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, you've got a lot going on over at Sun. What are some of the marquee projects that you've currently got, and what's upcoming?
Bill, here in Tucson, we recently finished the Pima County Courts building in downtown, and then we were teamed with the U of A on doing the historic renovation of Old Main, which is a fascinating project, bringing it back to its 1890s roots. We're also working on the U of A Health Science Building in downtown Phoenix. Some upcoming projects that we have the Ina Road I-10 interchange that's going to start for us in April and May. We're teamed with DPR on the new Banner UMC Hospital. We're going to be working on the TIA concourse renovation and the Pima County Animal Care Center coming up this spring.
Well, I was fortunate enough to take a nice tour. The president of the U of A, Dr. Hart, invited my wife and I to take a tour, kind of a behind-the-scenes tour of your work that you completed over there at Old Main. I got to tell you, beautiful job, Kevin, that you all put together. That had to be a very challenging project.
Bill, it was. We actually didn't have the plans, as you can imagine, from 1890. So we had to laser scan the building to come up with the current building design, which we built a computer model and then used that with the designers to go forward with the project. We also found all kinds of things in the walls. We found a 1913 yearbook signed by Pops McHale in the walls, and also the old sign from the original general contractor that built Old Main.
Yeah, I saw that. That's really cool. Sun celebrating 125-year anniversary, 86 years headquartered in Tucson. We see the Sun sign, of course, on all these projects around town. How did Sun begin? Where did Sun begin, and how did the whole thing come about?
Well, Sun began in Las Vegas, New Mexico in 1890 when Moritz son moved from Norway to New Mexico and started a carpenter's business. He moved to Tucson in 1929 to do the Methodist Church on Speedway, and the Sunt family was involved with the company for about 109 years. The last Sunt member that was a major shareholder sold their shares in 1999, at which time the company became 100% ESOP-owned. I think a lot of our success really stems from the Sunt family, the way they built the business, and really the Sunt family guidelines of keeping promises, meeting deadlines, doing quality work, and treating people fairly. And I think that's helped us succeed over the 125 years.
You know, Kevin, this 100% employee-owned, that has to be just a morale booster for the people that work for your organization.
Oh, absolutely. Our employees know that they're owners of the company, and their efforts really benefit not just the company, but themselves. In fact, we have 1,500 active shareholders in our company, and the largest shareholder only owns 4%. So all our employees know that their efforts really benefit the company and themselves. And we've been really fortunate that we've hired and retained highly qualified, dedicated employees that love to build and have values really consistent with our company, and that's really added to our success. Companies are only as good as its employees, and we're very fortunate with the quality employees we have here at Sunt.
Kevin, tell me a little bit about what's in the Sunt wheelhouse. You were mentioning, you know, everything from Old Main to an I-10 interchange project. What types of projects will you tackle, and perhaps are there some that are not that you can't really get into?
Yeah, you know, Bill, we're a pretty diversified construction company. We do work in mining and industrial, commercial building, heavy civil highway, concrete, and federal. I think we do a pretty good job of our project selection. We have a pretty robust go-no-go selection, and we try and select projects that are really fit our strategic and tactical plans. But, you know, to give you an idea of some of the work that we've tackled, we're in the process of just starting a job with APS up in the Four Corners on a power plant retrofit. Our contract in that area is about could grow somewhere between $155 to $200 million. We're doing a large bridge project in Portland, Oregon, where we took a steel bridge that was built in 1929, and we're building a new bridge over the Willamette River. We took that bridge and used it as a temporary bridge by basically sliding it 33 feet on one end and 66 feet on another, and then tied it together and used that as a temporary bridge. And it took us about 18 hours to slide it over. It's a 1,200-foot steel span. And that was one of the things that I really like about our company. We very much look for new ways in construction and how to create cost savings for our owners. And that was a very unique concept of moving that building that length of space and keeping it intact and being able to use it. It saved about $12 million on that project by reusing the bridge.
Speaking with Kevin Burnett, Senior VP and CFO, Chief Financial Officer for Sunt Companies, really has a really broad portfolio of projects. And it's not just domestically. You do some international work as well, right, Kevin?
Well, we used to, Bill. We've kind of, because of the amount of work we've had in the continental United States, we've stayed away from the international arena recently, and that's just because of the volume of work that we've had. Our heavy civil and our industrial groups have procured a fair amount of work and have been very successful in their pursuits, and we see our business growing steadily in the United States. Even though the economy is still somewhat soft in some of our markets, we're beginning to see an uptick in some of those. So our focus is pretty much in the States currently.
How many employees do you have overall?
Currently, we have 1,290 employees, about almost equally split between craft employees and admin employees. And our admin employees would be like our construction managers, our superintendents, our field engineers. And our craft employees are our skilled trades that work in our concrete, welding, and carpentry work.
With the employee-owned, that's a huge benefit, I think, for working for Sunt. And I know you do encourage your employees to get involved in community and civic organizations. those organizations really keep this community moving. That's a big deal, isn't it, Kevin?
Very much so. It's part of our mission statement to give back to our communities, and we encourage our employees to get involved in charitable and civic organizations. For example, here in Tucson, we have employees involved in the Tucson Chamber of Commerce, the YMCA of Southern Arizona, DM50, Southern Arizona Leadership, Sun Corridor, as well as other charities. And we also contribute a fair amount, both the company as a whole and the Sun Foundation. Since 1999, the Sun Foundation has contributed nearly $7 million to various charities, including over $1.4 million to Southern Arizona charities. We're very proud of that. And in addition, the company itself is heavily involved in education initiatives. We're contributors and also participate in Expect More Arizona, Teach for Arizona, Arizona Assurance, and work at the Department of Education. And we've been recognized back in 2003 for our support in education, receiving the Raytheon Spirit of Education Award that year.
All right, we've got about a minute left, and Sunt was one of the supporters of the Pima County Bonds proposition on the November ballot that was articulated in a Daily Star column recently mentioning Sunt. Why do you think it's important to pass these propositions, Kevin?
You know, Bill, Sun and myself view this as an investment in the quality of life and economic development in Pima County. The Pima County Board of Supervisors and the Bond Advisory Committee really did a very diligent job of putting together the bond package. They got input from various community organizations and constituents, and I think they did a nice job of vetting it. And what's really important in the package is there's over $200 million of road construction, repair and maintenance, pavement preservation, which is in great need in Pima County. You only have to drive through our roads in the area to know how much we need to address this. And for Sunt and the construction industry as a whole, there's over $600 million of construction projects contained in that bond package that will create thousands of jobs. You know, to give you an example, the Pima County Courts in downtown Tucson had well over 1,000 workers working on that project over the life of that project.
Wow.
This is a big shot in the arm for economic development in Pima County, and Sun is a proud and strong supporter of the Yes on Pima County Bonds.
All right, Kevin Burnett, Senior VP and CFO for Sun Companies. Kevin, thanks for visiting with us.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate you having me on.
Kevin Burnett with us on our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridors Incorporated. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. We'll be right back with the Consular. Don Luce is in the house, back right after this.
Honey, what are you doing?
I'm going over the checklist for our holiday party at Reed Park Zoo.
Santa, music, falling snow, twinkling lights, and food are already going to be there. Reed Park Zoo takes care of everything.
I didn't realize it would be so easy.
Honey, all you have to do is call and book the party.
Whether you're hosting a formal wedding or a casual barbecue, the Reed Park Zoo provides a fun environment for an unforgettable event. For more information about booking your next get-together, visit reedparkzoo.org.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Back to the Buckmaster Show. We are joined in studio with attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown and Hobkirk and Associates, whose offices are here in Tucson and in the Phoenix area. Mr. Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor and author of two very popular books on the law, Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Two books that have really crucial information, not only about our laws, but your future estate planning here in Arizona. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Great to be back.
Arizona's 1070. My goodness, it seems like a million years ago, but it's still around.
Yeah, this is the law that was so controversial back in 2010. The law was intended to effect some changes with respect to immigration. It passed and then was almost immediately challenged legally, and the litigation has continued and still continues regarding certain provisions. Many of the provisions of SB 1070 have already been declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Some of the provisions have passed constitutional muster, but a recent provision which the Ninth Circuit had earlier had some questions about, was deemed fatally flawed. And another provision, the so-called papers please provision, just this past week was declared okay by a district court judge in Phoenix.
Has U.S. District Judge Susan Bolton pretty much been overseeing this whole process?
She has. The initial challenge to SB 1070 started in her courtroom. Some of those provisions, by the way, were found unconstitutional after having been appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco and then to the United States Supreme Court. So this law, 1070, which was so controversial 5 years ago, is no less controversial today with respect to the remaining provisions.
The papers please provision, now there is a movement among some Latino activists who want state lawmakers to enact a requirement for police to actually detail the race, ethnicity, age and gender of everyone they stop?
That's exactly right. Senator Catherine Miranda, who's a Democrat in Phoenix, is crafting a measure that would make the details of every stop required. And she's using a Nebraska law that basically requires the police to document the race, ethnicity, age, and gender of people that they stop. The Nebraska law took effect in 2002 and requires the recordation and retention of the information regarding those types of characteristics. And Senator Miranda is saying we need it here in Arizona because Judge Bolton, when she found that the papers please provision of SB 1070 was okay, also found that there was no proof that the law was racially discriminatory. And the proponents of the law said, you know, as long as it's applied as written and there's no evidence of discrimination, you can't say that it's unconstitutional. And the group that is proposing a statute like the Nebraska statute is saying, look, if we can get the documentation on who's being stopped, we can then go back to Judge Bolton or some other judge and prove that the enforcement of this papers please provision actually is discriminatory, and then they presumably would have the documentary evidence to establish that. But as it is right now, they don't have those facts and figures, and the judge has says that she's not going to prevent the enforcement of that provision.
Well, it'd be interesting to see whether Senator Miranda, Democrat of Phoenix, can get a concurrence in our Republican-controlled legislature on that matter. And this, of course, would have to pass the legislature.
Yes, and as you point out, both the Senate and the House are controlled by Republican majorities.
What's this about our Secretary of State, Michelle Reagan, saying basically wanting to void this state redistricting plan that's been so controversial?
Well, this is kind of unusual to have a sitting Secretary of State who's named in a lawsuit only because she's the chief elections officer to actually take a position in the litigation. Her predecessor, Ken Bennett, took no position on the constitutionality of the redistricting plan. She, however, just recently filed papers with the United States Supreme Court asking the court to void the state's legislative redistricting plan. And what she's done is she's taken a position in the litigation that is in alignment with the challengers of the plan, which is a group of Republican legislators who say that the Independent Redistricting Commission drafted the districts that so that they favor Democrats. And so they're asking the court to declare that the redistricting was done improperly and to essentially require that it be redone. And Secretary of State Reagan, who up until this point in time was merely named in the litigation because she's essentially the chief elections officer of the state of Arizona, sided with the Republicans. And she submitted papers asking the court to find in favor of the Republican position, which would then essentially require the redistricting commission to start from scratch, to start over again.
And that would be the goal that they are pushing for, to remap basically the entire state from scratch again.
Yes. Yeah. Now, here's the interesting fact. The Republican controls both the Senate and the House. In the Senate, they have a 17-13 majority. In the House, they have a 36-24 majority. So what's kind of interesting about the litigation is that the party that already controls the legislature is challenging redistricting that they contend favors the Democrats, but that apparently hasn't done anything to to change the balance of control in the legislative process, at least to date.
It is interesting because they are in the majority right now. So why change it? I mean, it seems strange.
Well, it really does. So they're saying that if you take the state's population mm-hmm. and you divide it by 30, each district should have about 213 residents. Mm-hmm. So about 6 million people statewide, 213,000 residents per district. But what they're saying is that some Republican districts have more than 221,000 residents, and five Democratic districts have fewer than 205,000 residents. So they're saying that the Independent Redistricting Commission was biased, either intentionally or not, in drawing the districts so that they, in some cases, favor the Democrats. But as I mentioned, and as we just discussed, the Republicans have a majority anyway.
Be interesting to see how that comes out. We'll be speaking with Michelle Reagan for a half an hour later on this month. Don Luce, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bill. My pleasure.
Don Luce of Luce Brown and Hobkirk Associates offices here in Tucson and the Phoenix area. Mr. Luce, the author of Arizona Laws 101. It's in its second printing. It's a revised second edition. And a state planning in Arizona also is Don's work. Good advice in both books, and Don always thinking about a third edition for Arizona Laws 101. There's always plenty of material in this state.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Don Luce with us. Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Then we have 3 hours of local talk, 6 to 8 in the morning, Wake Up Tucson. Then the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone and a guest host. Every day I'll be back at 12:04 with the Friday edition. Tomorrow we'll speak with the Tucson Parks and Rec Director, Fred Gray, will be here on the Friday Focus. Have a great afternoon.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.